وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبعد، فنسأل الله عز وجل بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العلى أن يجعلنا وإياكم من المستمعين للقول والمتبعين أحسنه، إنه سبحانه وتعالى ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. ثم ما بعد، with the will of Allah جل وعلا, we are going to continue with our journey through the divine names. And just as a reminder, every name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have an effect on the way we think, the way we behave, and the way we connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the highest level of faith. It is being transformed through your beliefs. And very often today we transform, or we are being transformed intellectually, but not spiritually. So the only thing which seems to be changing is the way we think. Very often we are astonished when we hear scholars talk, when we hear arifin, people who are very spiritual, talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then when we are alone, it is like an echo we hear, and then all of a sudden it disappears. So there is no benefit in knowing without doing. It is rather a punishment for the slave Yawm al-Qiyamah, having knowledge which he does not put into practice. So as I very often repeat, our problem, our crisis is not a crisis of not knowing, it's a crisis of not knowing how to put what we know into practice. So our crisis is not a crisis of not knowing. If we're going to have a look at ourselves, we will see that we know a lot of things. But when we are going to compare what we know to what we practice, then we see that the amount of what we know is far more than the amount we practice. And this is dangerous, because it is one of the signs of nifaq. It is one of the signs of hypocrisy. And this is why it is better to know one thing and to practice it for the rest of your life than to increase in knowledge and not putting anything into practice. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this very clear when he said in Sahih Muslim, "Al-Qur'an hujjatun laka aw alayk." The Qur'an is an argument in your favor or against you. Meaning that more than 6,000 verses are either an argument in your favor on the Day of Judgment or against you. And this is why we need to have a new look at the Qur'an. What do I mean, a new look at the Qur'an? Is we are going to explore the verses in the Qur'an calling us towards actions, towards good character traits. We are going to have a look at all the ayat in Kitabillahi Azza wa Jal. We are going to read it from Surah Al-Fatiha to Surah Al-Nas, and every verse we're going to ask ourselves, what does this verse want from me? This is the most important thing, you see. But the problem is, when we are going to have a look at the entire Qur'an, we see that one chapter needs to be repeated over and over and over and over and over and over again. It is a chapter, if you do not read it, you have no prayer. لَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأْ بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ. There is no prayer, no accepted prayer, for whomsoever prays without reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Now, what is going on with Surah Al-Fatiha then? I mean, if we have to repeat it 17 times a day, there is a reason behind this. But I don't think we found the reason. If we were to have found the reason, then every time we were to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, we would find it to inspire us. We would find it to elevate our spiritual status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much more. But the problem is that becoming familiar with something makes you blind for the beauty within it. Maybe at the very beginning, when you were married, you thought your wife to be very beautiful. You found your husband to be a very attractive man. But as time passed, all of a sudden, you no longer see this beauty. You see, yes, it's okay. But the sparkle is gone. The spark is gone. But maybe when other people look at him, say, oh, it's a beautiful man. You see? So the thing is that when you're familiar with something, you become blind for its inner beauty. Familiarization is very, very dangerous. One day I was sitting on a plane, or in a plane rather, and there was a lot of turbulence, but really a lot, according to my standards, right? And I said, Ya Rabbi, is this the end of my life? And I was sitting at the back of the plane, and there was a man writing on a computer, a laptop. And I went up to the man, and I saw that he was actually, working on a program which had to do with planes, the statistics of the plane and everything. He said, can I ask you a question? He said, go ahead. I said, is this normal? And he said, what? And the plane went boom, like this. I said, this. He said, what? I said, is it normal for the plane? Oh, this also. He didn't say subhanAllah. He said, oh, subhanAllah. He said, no, it's. I didn't even notice this. It's nothing. This is what we pilots call, a hiccup, And I said, okay. So all of a sudden, because he was so familiar to these turbulences, he didn't even notice them. Like if you were to visit someone in New York, for example, and there is the subway passing his house, right? And everything trembles, he doesn't notice. Say, oh, what was that? He will say, what? I said, everything starts shaking and trembling. Say, oh, that's the train. Now the problem is we are all looking for this magical formula to transform us and connect us to God Almighty. The problem is that this formula has already been given. It's Surah Al-Fatiha. This is why Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah azza wa jal in Zad al-Ma'ad, he says that لِسُورَةِ الْفَاتِحَةِ أَسْرَارٌ يعني Surah Al-Fatiha has secrets. It's not secrets that can't be found, because the Qur'an is not to have secrets that can't be explored. Qur'an is Kitabun Mubin. It's a clear book. But meaning that every time you read Surah Al-Fatiha, there is a new message behind it. How are we going to explore and how are we going to understand the message of Surah Al-Fatiha? Well, through personalization. We are going to personalize Surah Al-Fatiha. Meaning that every time you are going to read Surah Al-Fatiha, you are going to connect each verse to something actually happening in your life. Alhamdulillahi Rabbi. Why? Why are you praising Allah Jalla wa'ala today? I mean, the reason before Dhuhr might be not the same reason as after Asr. So in your Dhuhr prayer, it will be different. In Maghrib, it will be different. So you are actually going to connect your emotions and your gratitude and your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Surah Al-Fatiha. It is supposed to be your constitution, Surah Al-Fatiha. And it is supposed, because it is also, it are the only words which make our prayer accepted, you see? Because there are no words good enough that we can pronounce for our prayer to be answered. Allah says, it's not you talking, that won't do it. Even in dua, the Prophet ﷺ said, every dua which is not started with a thana, with praising Allah Jalla wa'ala, was-salat ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and pronouncing salawat over the Prophet alayhi sallam, will not be accepted. Meaning that the magic formula is not you, you have already been given it. So anyway, what we are going to do now, we want to read Surah Al-Fatiha, and it might be a very lonely journey, because the majority of people don't care. The majority of people say, I pray my five prayers, I don't do haram, leave me alone. Okay, that's good, you're a good Muslim. But the problem is, your hereafter will grow in harmony with what you do for it. And not everybody wants to do it. Sometimes people fall back because they're waiting for their wife to do the same, or for their children to do the same, for their husband to do the same, for their parents to do the same. Because you feel if you want to grow, that all of a sudden the participants will not grow with you. The higher you go, the fewer the amount of people will be that take part in this journey. I mean, you just have to look at people climbing the Mount Everest, right? And a good thing for the Hanafis, if they climb the Mount Everest, Imam Samarqandi, rahimahullah azza wa jalla, al-Hanafi, he said, that if you climb, you're in extreme cold, then you have a udhr, an excuse, to wear your socks for longer than 72 hours before taking them off to wipe over your socks. Normally, as a traveler, there are 72 hours, right? He said, in extreme cold, you can wipe over your socks more than 72 hours. This is also the opinion of Imam Malik, who didn't limit wiping over the socks, but Imam Abu Hanifa did. So anyway, why did I say this? Yes, the Mount Everest. So the higher people climb, the more they have to give up, isn't it? I mean, at 3,000 meters, everybody's happy. Oh, the sun is shining, everything is okay. Your lungs are still doing all right. But then when you reach a full 5,000 meters, all of a sudden oxygen, your blood, you know, starts becoming what? Thinner. Yeah. So you don't have enough oxygen. Some people need to be put in an oxygen bag. And there you are, losing your members, losing fingers. When you see this at 4,000 meters, you say, I'm just, you know, halfway. And when we say halfway, it means in distance, not in difficulty. Because at the beginning it goes like this, but then it goes like that, and then it goes like this. So the last 100 meters are the most difficult ones. So, you know, the higher you go, the more difficult it gets. This is when you want to reach the climax of creation. The climax of creation in height. What if you want to reach the climax in a world unexplored, unseen? But on the other hand, the depths, you know, in the oceans are even more deep than the heights of the mountains. 20,000 meters, you can keep on going. So now to come back. And this is what Imam Ghazali rahimahullah clearly stated. He said that, you know, when the goal becomes bigger, the participants are fewer. He said in Minhaj al-Abidin, Minhaj al-Abidin ila Jannati Rabbil Alameen. And he said, when the goal becomes bigger, the participants become fewer in number. So here we are, looking at the Quran from beginning to the end. And this is what our scholars used to say. You need to read the Quran in three ways. One is for the barakah, every month. Believe me, if you read the Quran, all the Quran, each in 1 month, you won't take away a lot of understanding. But there's barakah. There's barakah, the shaitan will leave your house, and so much more. The second one is there where you try to understand it. And the third one is where you want to practice it. Three readings of the Quran. And they say the last one is the longest one. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, like Imam Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah azza wa jal mentioned in his book Zadul Masir, he said, we used to learn 5 ayat with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or 10, no more, but usually 5. Then we would go away from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we would understand these ayat, put them into practice, invite people to these ayat, and only after this, we would come back to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is why they say, we had iman, فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنِ فَازْدَدْنَا بِالْقُرْآنِ إِيمَانًا. Yani we had Iman, then we were given Qur'an. And with the Qur'an, our faith, you know, increased. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ yani, and when the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited to them, their Iman, their faith increases. You see? So now, to come back, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are one of the things you are going to find in the Book of Allah. Which I found very interesting is that almost, as I said before, read the Qur'an and the majority of verses about fiqh, al-ayat al-fiqhiyya, are connected to al-asma al-ilahiyya. In the beginning it's fiqh, being it divorce, menstruation, marriage, inheritance. All these ayat are very theoretical fiqhi. But at the end, it mentions the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just read the Qur'an, it's ajib. So that we would know that fiqh is all about serving Allah. And now today when we learn fiqh, it seems to be very dry. Because we disconnected fiqh from what? From the one we worship. We are so focused on halal and haram very often, that we forget why we are doing halal and why we are leaving haram. And this is very often why some people can't continue leaving haram. Why? Because they forgot why they have to leave it.
Just rules. And then we come like, subhanAllah, the same thing. When you have a rule not to pass the red light, police officer is there, you're going to stop. Even if you were in the middle of the desert, camera, woof, okay, you stop. If the camera weren't there, you would continue. Why? Because he doesn't see me. If you have the aqeedah that Allah Jalla wa Ala always sees you, then you're always going to stop for haram. You see? And this is why Ibn Ajiba rahimahullah azza wa jal said, مَنْ دَلَّكَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ فَقَدْ أَتْعَبَكَ وَمَنْ دَلَّكَ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا فَقَدْ غَشَكَ وَمَنْ دَلَّكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ نَصَحَكَ. Someone who shows you the way to perform deeds, he tired you. Because if you don't know why you are doing these deeds and for whom you are doing them, one day you will give up. So he said, if you remind people of deeds, that's what is happening today. The majority of people who talk is always about deeds. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. At the end, we forgot why, for who. You see? But if we talk about the who, yani who in English, not the who, huwa, right? So it looks like. Anyway, huwa, qul huwa Allahu ahad. So if we talk about the who, you know, the Allahu Akbar, now it doesn't leave my mind. Okay, so anyway. If we talk about the why, then eventually the rules will grow in our heart because the desire to please the one we know is so big. Say, he's the one who created me. He's the one who shaped me. My child, subhanAllah, he's the one who created it, gave it the color of its eyes and its hair. When it says daddy or abi or whatever, or ummi, mother, it's he who made my child speak, who put love in my child's heart for me. What big of a present is this? So you start loving Allah, you start caring for Allah. Then you know that Allah is Almighty, He's the King, He's the Sultan, He is the Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir, Al-Qahhar, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mateen, Al-Qawi. So now you are in awe. You're in awe for Allah Jalla wa Ala. So you say, and this is why Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah says, if you have this love and you have this awe, Al-Haybah, you are going to say, what can I do to please my Lord and tell me what I need to stay away from so that I don't make him angry? On the one hand, al-fara'id, wal-mandubat, al-mustahabbat, and here, al-muharramat, wal-makruhat. If you really want this, my brother, if you really want this, my sister, do the fard and do everything which Allah likes, and He will be pleased with you. And leave all the haram and everything He dislikes, and He will not be angry with you. But now we are doing the opposite. A child grows up, no, it's haram, no, it's halal. It's important that it stays away from haram. So I'm not trying to make this point. But you're not teaching it to connect first. This connection is very important. Don't we see that at the very beginning, all the ayat were about Yawm al-Qiyamah? Everything was about Yawm al-Qiyamah. SubhanAllah, اقتربت, yani everything. If you look at the ayat al-Takwir, Surah al-Inshiqaq, and so much more, these ayat in the beginning at in Mecca, they were all about connecting to Allah. Who is Allah? Now we are, sometimes we have the feeling that we are forcing ourselves to do forms of worship. They feel sometimes like a burden, sometimes they feel like something heavy. But anyway, I have to do it because I'm a Muslim. That's not love. Love is being driven to do whatever your beloved one wants from you. Like Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said in Madarij al-Salikin, al-fikru da'im ma'al qalbi al-ha'im. You continuously keep on thinking about your beloved one, and your heart is always passionate to do what your beloved one wants. And the first thing our scholar said, that is a proof of your love for Allah, is staying away from all the muharramat. Like the sha'ir said, تعصي الإله وتظهر حبه إن هذا لعمر بديع لو كان حبك صادقا لأطعته إن المحب لمن يحب مطيع. He said, you are disobedient to the Lord, yet you claim to love Him? This is something very strange, because when you love someone, you obey that someone. خلاص. So if we are not able to leave bad deeds, lower our gaze, keep our mouths away from gossiping or lying or breaking hearts, then there's one reason: the lack of love for Allah and the lack of awe, al-ghaiba, for Allah. That's it, nothing else. Sometimes people say, I'm not very structured. I pray too late. Sometimes I go to bed before Isha, praying Isha, then I wake up, subhanAllah, it's after Isha, after Fajr. I have no structure. Not praying on time is not a lack of structure. It's a lack of spiritual connection with Allah. Nothing more. It's not about being structured. Praying is not about being structured. Yes, thank you. Praying is about being reminded. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah, they say in Jannah, it's, you know, some rivers are whiter than milk, sweeter than honey. SubhanAllah. And there is no diabetes. No marad sukkar. Like here, you know, it has been, I think, a long time that I had something with sugar in it. So, but there you can go on, keep on going. It's not bad for your teeth. It's not bad for your health. SubhanAllah. Okay, let's continue. So, we want and to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the things, barakallahu fikum, that will come into existence when we love Allah and have accepted Allah as our Lord is a rida bil qada. A rida bil qada. That you are pleased with Allah's choices in your life. This is what we want to talk about today, rida. We're not going to mention the name of Allah. We are going to talk about the result of believing in Allah Jalla wa Ala. And one of them is the rida. And this is a book I have written in Dutch. It's called Be Pleased with Allah. So this is the book, but you can't buy it because it's in Dutch. The book is called Know Allah, Knowing Allah. Yeah. So I mentioned the reasons why it's important to know Allah Jalla wa Ala, and then in the second part I talk about rida billahi azza wa jal. I had another book which was published I think a month ago, and it's called Spiritual Pearls. It's also in Dutch. So inshallah, it's actually we started this all the books I've written are on my computer. They've been there for about 10 years. And now I wrote about 430 books, so I need to get them out. Inshallah, with your dua, that will happen. Maybe one day they will be translated, who knows? So, rida bil qada, they say, is your last step towards getting rid of yourself. On your way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah doesn't allow a heart to be shared. Exactly as He doesn't want you to worship others apart from Him, He doesn't want you to share your heart with others apart from Him. You see? Which doesn't mean that we are not allowed to love creation. We love people, but our love is within a framework. Very often we say, أُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ أَحْبَبْتُكَ فِي اللَّهِ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, أَوْثَقُ عُرَى الْإِيمَانِ. يعني أوثق عرى الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض في الله. يعني the strongest handhold of faith is loving for Allah. You see, so loving for Allah. What does it mean to love someone for Allah? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also said, من أحب لله وأبغض لله ومنع لله وأعطى لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. Someone who loves for Allah, then he mentioned other things, has completed his faith. So what is loving for Allah? You know, once a man came to me. He said, my wife is angry with me. I said, why? Because I told her, I love you for Allah, sister. I said, brother, this is not a way to talk to your wife. I love you for Allah's sake, sister. I said, subhanAllah, why is this necessary? Just tell her you love her. I mean, and the sister thing makes it all very strange, you see. Allah called her Zawja, at least say Zawja, you see. But anyway, he said she's angry. I said, why? Yeah, because of this. I said, okay, that's 1-0 for her. I understand. If you come home and say, sister, I love you, I mean, for Allah, you know, that's no different from you saying this to a brother. But she said, I want you to love me for me. Not, I don't want you to love me for Allah. So I said, what do I reply? Yani, what should I tell her? Well, very often we get things mixed up. What does it mean to love for Allah? Because very often we have it in our minds, but we don't know how to feel it in our heart. Well, loving for Allah, we have a natural love, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to mankind. And this love between spouses is even stronger than the word love. وَجَعَلَ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah says that He has placed mawadda between man and wife. What is mawadda? It's qimmatul hubb. It is the climax of love. This is mawadda. Mawadda is the climax of love. And then Allah said rahma. Why? When you just married, you think that you are married to perfection. Everything is perfect. You don't see no shortcomings. There's nothing which annoys you. All is perfect, beautiful, in harmony, and everything you see is what you want, and everything you hear is what you like. Then when the dopamine, after they say 18 months or so, you know, when the butterflies fly away, when uncles are laughing, you know, when butterflies go back to where they came from, all of a sudden you see clearly, you say, okay, it wasn't as perfect. This is with everything, by the way. You buy a new car, it can be the car you think, the most expensive car. You buy it, in the beginning you say, oh, my car hasn't got any problems. It's the best car. Everybody who has a new car says this. Listen to them. It doesn't drink anything. It doesn't consume anything. It's good. The tires are good. No noise, nothing. MashaAllah, best car ever. I will always buy this brand. When you see him 5 years later, you say, how is your car? Worst car ever, brother. I say, brother, you said it was the best car. I'm never going to buy this brand again. So this is dunya. It was never perfect, but you were blinded by its lie. She deceives you, you know, she misguides you. So anyway, to come back, Allah says mawadda, because in the beginning there is this love. What blind love? Everything is perfect. And then, you know, things start to show. Patience is a bit less. Being the noble gentleman who always opens the door, start saying, open it yourself. Yeah? The man that used to get up when you would pray to take you by the hands and lift you and say, there you go. Now he sees that you can barely get up because you're too tired. In Ramadan, he looks at you and he passes, and you know. So, and then the feeling starts to arise, are we still in love? No, but you love one another. You see? So, Allah, why am I saying all this? Mawadda. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed al-mawadda, right? Mawadda between the spouses. Why did I say this? How did I get to this? Yes, al-hub fillah doesn't mean that the feeling you have is controlled or is mixed with a love for Allah. What it means is, my feeling is love, but with my love, I will only behave within the limits of halal. Done. That's loving for Allah. Loving you for Allah, Umar, means if I am wrong, according to the fiqh, and you are right, that I give you your right, and I say, Sami'na wa ata'na. That's loving for Allah. You see? Or when you want my help, you say, not you, for example, somebody else. Yeah, there is somebody who wants my help. I really love him a lot. He says, brother, I got a problem. You know, I didn't ever tell you, but I'm actually addicted to weed. But I really love him, you know? He says, please give me £5, just gonna buy a joint, I will be right back. I said, brother, I can't do this for you. Brother, please, come on, you told me you love me. I love you. But my loving you for Allah means that my actions will not go, my love will not allow me to perform actions which Allah doesn't like. This is al-hubbu fillah. Is it clear? And very often we mix it up and then we think, oh no, I need to love things for Allah. No. Loving things for Allah means love freely within the framework of halal. And don't do anything haram for the one you love. Intaha. That's al-hubb fillah. Does it become clear? Because, and this is why a lot of people say, uhibbuka fillah, uhibbuka fillah, I love you for Allah, I love you for Allah. But people actually don't know what it means. I had a brother who always used to tell me, uhibbuka lillahi wa li annaka ant. I love you for Allah and because you are you. You see? So, to come back, Allah. Ar-rida, yani being pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last thing that we need to get rid of on our path, on our way to Allah Jalla wa'ala, is ourselves. Love for ourselves. Okay, and with love, you have to love yourself. But meaning, loving your ego. And the last thing you want to give up as a Muslim, as a human being, is freedom of choice. To be submitted to someone's will. Because this takes away your freedom. You see? Nobody wants this. People can, you know, if people tell you, if you say, so you tell someone, I'm going to stay home for a week. I'm not going to pick up the phone. I'm not going to do anything for a week. Just chill out. You will come at rest. If now someone tells you, you need to stay in your home for half a day. Don't pick up the phone and don't go out. These 8 hours are like hell to you. Actually, nothing happened. You were just 8 hours home. But you feel imprisoned. You feel limited. This is how we were created. Because we were created to explore. We were created to be innovative, to do so many things. You know, this is within us. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but when it comes down to me, you shut your will off. Turn it off. I choose, you are pleased with my choice. How difficult is this? Wallahi, it's difficult. It's difficult. You know, when things happen that you do not like in your life, you come back home, your wife tells you, sorry, our child has died while you were away. And on top of that, so imagine, a car crashed into our car, but I parked it in the wrong space, so we will have to pay it. 2 days later, you get the news that your mother died. I know, I have been counseling people. Some of the people I spoke to, a woman lost her husband and 2 sons in a year. And everybody due to something unexpected. This can happen. It are not like fake things. I mean, just think about Yemen. Yemen now, while we were talking, how many children died? A lot. Think about Ethiopia. We don't always have to think about Muslims. Think about these non-Muslim children who have to walk every day, 4 hours go, 4 hours back, just to get 20 liters of water. They stop going to school at the age of 11 because now they can carry buckets on their head. While we are talking, this is happening. Think about Syria, think about Iraq, think about all these places. So yes, terrible things happen. So now to come back. How are we now going to find rida, contentment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choices in our lives? This is the last thing on our way to Allah. When something happens which we wouldn't choose for, that we say, Ya Rabbi, your choice is better than that what I desire. Like you want to get married? It happens. The night where you are going to get married, and they are waiting, the wife is new wife is waiting for her husband. They say, subhanAllah, he died on the way, a crash, car crash, dead. That this woman says, he was not destined for me. He was not my rizq. My heart is sad, but Ya Rabbi, I accept your choice. These are the real people. These are the real people. And talking about it is beautiful. But doing it is difficult. And that's where we as Muslims show whether we are strong in our faith or weak. Very often, when people visit someone whose husband died, whose child died, all of a sudden they feel that they have to become preachers. You know, they go, "Sister, it was Allah's choice. Allah did it for you." And they want to give these reminders. They need to be sincere. If it were to happen to you, would you think like this, or would you fall down on your knees and cry in a little corner, not wanting anybody to remind you of anything because you're in pain? Tell me. Weak, I would be the second one. I would like nobody to talk to me. Maybe I will be weeping in a corner, not wanting to be reminded. Maybe, I don't know. So instead of going there and preaching, go there to be there for them. Because when you preach something, Allah will test you with it. That is the thaman, the price of reminding people. When you remind others of something which you are not, it will come in your life. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَدَقُوا اللَّهَ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ, says Allah. If they were truthful towards Allah, it would have been better for them. You see? So just go to these people and be there for them. Give your shoulder to cry on. Make them some food. Make them happy. Try to take care of their children instead of being Shaykhul Islam, coming there talking about the deen. Say, if you want, I can keep your 5 children with me for a week. That is tawbah. And that's difficult. Talking for 5 minutes is very easy. So anyway, الرضا بالقضاء. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the virtue of being pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choice. And he said, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. He said, he or she who is pleased with Allah as Rabb. And Rabb is like a murabbi, the one who forms you, educates you, does with you, makes you go through things. The one who is pleased with Allah as a murabbi, as a Rabb, and with Islam as his way of life, and with Muhammad as his guide, will taste the sweetness of faith. Sweetness. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, and the sweetness of faith can be tasted with the heart like we taste food with the tongue. It's something you feel here. It's like your heart has been fed with the most beautiful thing. But what is the condition? Being pleased with Allah's choices in your life. And you know, sometimes we complain about the smallest, slightest things. We want to park the car. When we arrive, and it's very important, we've got an appointment and we know it's a very busy day. Just when I think, oh, there's a space, somebody else comes and takes that space. Then how do you feel? Some people, shiny, happy people, say, Alhamdulillah, mashallah, Mubarak, and they mean it. You know, Mubarak, Alhamdulillah, I'm so happy for him, it was his risk. That's not the majority of people, believe me. Some people say, Ya Rabbi, again? Last time, this time, how many times? I think 3 times already I've been looking for a parking space. You tell to your wife, and every time I want one, there is none. And after that, you want to convince your wife she has to be pleased with the decree of Allah, and you want to tell your children to do the same. Doesn't work. What you show is what you reap, right? So the rida bil qada is in the smallest things. You were looking for a cheap hajj. How much is hajj these days?
I paid 7.
Excuse me?
7.
Okay, there's no cheap hajj anymore. Excuse me?
3,000.
3? Are you a tour guide?
He went £2,900.
For hajj?
Yeah.
With hotel?
Hotel, he paid everything.
And in Mecca and Medina?
Yeah.
10 days.
Yeah, I got a message from, travel agency. So oh. People are going from Frankfurt.
Yeah. Okay, share this with me. SubhanAllah. Allah. Okay, so anyway, this can be qadr, right? This way. So a cheap hajj, like you said 7, he says 3,000. So now I'm excited because I say 2,900, yes, inshallah. So now when he will send it to me, for example, tomorrow, and I will call them, and they say, Subhanallah, brother, Allah, 3 minutes ago somebody called, and the last one for 2,900 is gone, now it is 7,000. A Umari Hajj. Now, how will I feel? Subhanallah, why? You know, I'm disgusted in a certain way. Where's the Rida bil Qada? It's difficult. Is that you know that this is better for you. Because we're not looking at money. We don't know what the result of our choices will be. Maybe I go for the one with 3,000, and maybe it will change my heart and I come back as a bad Muslim, as someone who doesn't like Hajj and doesn't like anything because of my bad experience. Maybe I pay 7,000 and I meet one of the scholars of the hereafter who changed my heart, my life, and myself for the rest of my life. So we don't weigh success on money or paying more or paying less. It is all where it brings us in the hereafter. And as we don't know what will bring us where, we have a rida billah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better than we do. How many people have been saying, I want to get married to this man, I want to get married to this man. Usually I say to this woman. But anyway, man, woman. So I want to get married, this is a good husband, this is a good husband. And then the mother of that man says, inshallah, you will marry my son later on in 2 years when he finishes university. And then all of a sudden you hear he's married. You say, but they promised me. Yeah, but it's a shame. Now you can't talk because he's married already. What are you going to do? So there you are, weeping in your corner. Oh, this man, subhanAllah, more than 2 billion men in the world. Oh, this man, this was the only man as well. This is the way people think, you know. When they want something, they put their mind on it. It's like it's the only thing which exists. So now, weeping. And then all of a sudden, your mother comes home. She says, Alhamdulillah that you didn't get married to him. I just heard he's a drug dealer and he beat off his wife and she's in hospital. What are you going to do now? Shukran ya Rabbi. It's the first thing I taught my son, Leith. He's now 14 months. Shukran ya Rabbi goes like this. So, what is going on now? So 5 minutes ago, it was Ya Rabbi, why? And I was Shukran Ya Rabbi. Are we playing games? You see? The same with the man who went on Hajj. You know, he was putting money, the Hajj was expensive, 7,000. He was putting a lot of money on the side for 2 years. So now in the morning he says, darling, I'm gone, children, hug, bye, salama, and so forth. He goes away and he leaves his house on time. But then as soon as he's on the highway, he's in a traffic jam. He says, no problem, alhamdulillah, traffic jam, no problem. I've left very early, so nothing can go wrong. So now, what do you want? Oh, mashallah. Is this phone mine? Okay, so I will have, you know, later. So now, It's true, it's 2,895. Oh, yes. So now, barakallahu fikum, he says, no problem, I left very early, even an hour in a traffic jam, no problem. Time goes by, an hour later, he has moved 1 mile. But do you know these highways where you can't go left or right? There's no, you know, side road? So there he is. So he knows he's going to be late. He says, no, inshallah, khair, Allah, you know, I did it for Allah. I put money aside, Allah will help me. He has to help me. I did it for something good. So I think all the people that are going to Hajj today are going to be late. So the plane is not going to depart. So he thinks. Then when he comes too late at the airport, he sees Emirates Airlines. Woof, that's his plane. He knows it. You know, the little, you know, letters on the wing, on the tail. That's my flight. What happened? So now he's going back. The children are still crying because daddy left them. The wife is a bit happy because now she's got some time for herself. So there he goes. The children go, okay, let's open the door. Who is this? They open the door. Daddy, we're so happy you're back. But daddy's not happy, is he? So he says, leave me alone. And then the wife, what are you doing here? Can't you see what I'm doing here? Do I need to explain you? Do I need, you know, to draw? So anyway, the wife says, what's going on, honey? Please tell me. And the more she asks, the more the husband gets annoyed. And the children are happy. They're jumping because daddy's back. So he goes to the room, slams the door. And there he is sitting, pondering, bitter. Why? Why? What is happening? No assurance on his flight. He's late. He's not going to be paid back. No Hajj this year. So, and then an hour later, darling, leave me alone. Darling, I want to show you some. Leave me, please, just 1 minute, and then you can go back to your room. Says, okay. Comes down, she puts on Jazeera, flight crashed. What is he going to do now? The flight crashed. It was not the Emirates Airlines. The flight crashed. So now what? He's going to make sujood al-shukr. All of a sudden he was, why? And now he goes, shukra, ya Rabbi, sorry that I was like this. You know, we're just human, you know. So all of a sudden this ungrateful person turns into a grateful worshipper. Now, this is not correct, is it? So what is happening? This is why our scholars say, someone with strong belief in Allah does at the beginning of a test what a foolish man does at the end of the test. When you see why Allah has tested you, you know that He was preserving you, that He was giving you, that He was guiding you to something which you couldn't have gotten to if it weren't through this test. Being it money, being it a job, being it a wife, a husband, being it comprehension, a deep spirituality, you don't know. But we know that Allah, when He doesn't give, it's not because He's stingy, He's rich. When He withholds with wisdom. And when He gives with generosity and wisdom. So if you know that He withholds something from you, then you know it's not to tease you, because this is not what Allah does. It's not just, you know, to annoy you, because this is not what Allah does. Allah doesn't annoy people. Is to teach you, to protect you, to uphold you, to preserve you. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah, and Allah will teach you. So this is why they say, at the beginning of a test, our scholars used to say, شُكْرًا يَا رَبِّي. I know that it is behind the bitterness of medication, of medicine, behind the bitterness of medicine is the cure, the sweetness of the cure. And this is the same with tests. So you drink it with a smile because you know that it's going to cure you. You're on a table where Allah Ta'ala is taking care of you. We're not going to say like a surgeon takes care of his patients, but this is actually what's going on. So just leave yourself in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will take care of you. So this is a rida bil qada. An takuna kal mayyiti bayna yadi Allah. That you are like a dead person, a deceased person, from an emotional point of view, a spiritual point of view, in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And I want to finish with what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah azza wa jalla said. Being pleased with Allah's decree is the greatest gate to Allah. The biggest gate. There are many gates, they're very tiny. But if you really want to get connected to Allah, it's being pleased with His decree. No resistance whatsoever. What comes, comes. And this is why Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah azza wa jalla mentioned in his book about Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the fifth Khalifa. He said that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz didn't find peace of mind until he would say the following: Allahumma raddini bi qada'ik wa sabbirni ala ta'atik hatta la uhibba ta'khira ma ajjalta wa la ta'jila ma akhart. He said, when I said this, I found peace of mind, which means, oh Allah, make me pleased with your choices in my life. Give me patience to fulfill what you have ordained me to do. And allow me not to want now what you want to delay. And not wanting to see delayed what you want to make happen now. He said, and when I said this, everything left my heart. So he says, the greatest, the biggest gate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is contentment with Allah's choices in your life. It is paradise on the face of the earth. And it's the peace of mind of the Gnosts, those who know Allah. It gives life to the soul and the lovers. And the worshippers rejoice therein. And it is more beloved to those who love them than their own choices. And this is why Imam al-Dhahabi mentioned that one of the scholars whose dua was accepted, that Allah subhanahu, that one of his students said, people come to you to make dua for them, and Allah cures them through you, bi-idhnihi. He says, why don't you make dua for yourself? He was blind. He said, my son, Allah's choice for me, without me asking him, is more beloved to me than Allah's choice after me asking him. And Allah cured him. You see. So it's we ask Allah, but we don't ask Allah as someone who thinks that he has to tell Allah something he doesn't know. Or like someone who thinks he needs to remind Allah of what he has forgotten. When we ask Allah, we don't have a bucket list. You need to do this for me, Ya Rabbi, and do this, and do this, and do this, and do this. Yani, subhanAllah, this is the way we talk sometimes. No. We always say, Ya Rabbi, if you know that what I'm wanting is better for me, my deen, dunya, and akhirah, give it to me. And if it's not, then take it away from me, even if I would have wanted it, desired it, and yearned for it. This is the best thing you can do. Salat al-Istikhara. Salat al-Istikhara, the dua of al-Istikhara is, subhanAllah, look, and last thing. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yu'allimu ahadana al-Istikharata kama yu'allimuna al-Fatiha. He used to teach us dua al-Istikhara like he would teach us al-Fatiha. Exactly as there is no accepted prayer without al-Fatiha, there is no accepted life without al-Istikhara. Istikhara is the condition of life. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتِ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Say my prayer and my sacrifice, my life and my death are all for Allah, the One, and I do not associate any partners to Him within that. Yani, in my death and my life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why. Yani, the istikhara is a true proof of you believing in all the names of Allah, the wise, the king, the decision maker, the one who dishonors and honors, enriches and makes others poor, gives some status and others not. He's wise, he sees, he hears, he knows. He's well informed. So when things happen out of your control, yani that you didn't provoke yourself, then you know it's the divine will which is happening in your life. And if you are able to connect to Him through your problems in life, then you have understood why you are alive. Meaning these tests of life, the wisdoms therein, can't be taught through books. You see? Through tests of life, Allah wants you to understand something. And as long as you keep on rebelling against these tests, no, I don't want it. No, it's not good. Why are people doing this? Why? Then you're blind. You're drunk. Dunya made you drunk. But if now you want to be sober, you look through your heart. Say, what is Allah teaching me? Even if it's very bad, like people that you love, they are stabbing you in the back. People that you talk good about and that you have been helping are gossiping about you. You don't look at what's happening. You are looking at what you think Allah wants you to understand. And that's the reason why it's happening. The reason why it's happening is not because it's happening. There is a lesson behind it. What is it? When you connect to the wisdom behind the test, you have found a pearl which is more precious than anything else on the face of the earth. If you want a treasure, you need to dig through the mud. If you want to connect to Allah, you need to go through problems. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Nasal Allah azza wa jalla bi asma'i al-husna wa sifati al-ula. Allahumma adina fi man hadayt wa afina fi man afayt wa tawallana fi man tawallayt wa barik lana fi man a'tayt. Wa qina wasrif anna sharra ma qadayt fa innaka taqdi wa la tuqda alayk fa innahu lan ya'iz man adayt wa lan yadhil man walayt. Tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt. Allahumma ja'al waqa'ina fi hadhihi ad-dunya sawma wal liqa' ma'aka rabbi 'ida. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we will also, everybody will be informed with regards to the prophetic soul. The message will go out. I will not say no more than this. Inshallah. Okay, Allah, you're welcome.